This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome in to WEEI Afternoons on a Tuesday afternoon in our beautiful Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. Andy Hart here, Nick Fitzy Stevens dancing himself around his microphone, doing the robot. That was Tom Curran on Jones and Keefe earlier today. And one might ask, if one doesn't pay attention, why was Jones and Keefe talking to Tom Curran about Tom Brady? And why are we leading off our show talking about Tom Brady's departure? Well, because 5 years ago yesterday, 5 years ago this week, was the beginning of the end, and we just didn't really know how bad it would get. For your New England Patriots, Tom Brady walked out that door, and since then, well, Tom Curran used the word disastrous, and maybe a little bit strong, maybe just a smidge strong disastrous. But it hasn't been great. The Patriots have not been able to get any traction on a retool, rebuild. Belichick, Mayo, Vrabel, Newton, Mac Jones, Drake May, Jacoby Brissett. The quarterbacks have changed. The coaches have changed. The results have not been good. And we're asking why, quite honestly, to start this show. Why have the Patriots struggled so badly in the post-Brady era? And now we know the obvious. To start it, well, you didn't have Tom Brady. Tom Brady left, so you're going to go down a little bit. Well, but it's been 5 years. 5 years, kind of a long time, Fitzy, and we're not even really sure where we're at in the rebuild process. If you have jump-started it with Drake May, are we building false confidence yet again in a young quarterback who we liked as a rookie, but we don't know what he's going to be moving forward? Another coach, another plan. The power structure that Ted loves to talk about, all of those things are still coming to fruition before our eyes, and we're bitching about the offseason. We're bitching about failure to fill holes and maybe being disappointed and all those things. So let's start first, Fitzy, with a simple question that came to my head when thinking about this topic on the drive-in. Did Tom Brady leave, or was he pushed out the door?
Tom Brady ultimately left. But he felt unwanted, which is what made him decide to leave. He wasn't pushed out the door. He could have come back. He could have come back for way less than he was worth. He could have come back for less than market. He could have come back for a disrespectful amount of money. So if you want to say that that's him being pushed out the door, you can. He wasn't literally not offered a contract. Pardon my double negative. They want. Remember, there was a whole thing like, oh, you can't spend this much over the cap. And
percentages and blah, blah, blah.
A quarterback can't be this much next year, and these are our percentages. So it's like he was, but he technically wasn't. Now, that being said, if any of us were him and had done half of what he did at that point in his life, and he was being offered what he was offered, why in the hell wouldn't he have left? I think it's one of the, for people like myself that were so shocked that Brady left, that felt hurt or betrayed that he would actually tuck tail and turn around and take his talents to Tampa Bay or anybody else, I think one of the most shameful things is that we didn't just unapologetically stand behind him and rather took mantle with the franchise. I'm born a Pats fan, I'll die a Pats fan. Yes, but who made being a Patriots fan more important, more prescient, more relevant, and more fun than anyone else in history? That's
Gronk.
Tom Brady.
And oh, wait.
That, yeah. Yes. Ray Crittenden was actually the answer I was looking
Kevin
for.
Kevin Turner would get a lot of votes from Andy Hart, a young Andy Hart, as would Andre Tippett.
Ross,
but I get your point.
Ross Ventrone.
Bubba.
Yeah. So, you know, it's still 5 years later. It's tragic the way that it all ultimately ended. And it didn't have to end this way. Now, to the point of it's been a disaster for 5 years. Things have been a mess and they've been caught in kind of a stink spiral, if you want to put it that way, since this is family radio in the afternoons on the public airwaves.
Is that sort of like a blank storm?
It's like a blank storm, exactly. Yes.
Stink spiral. That's a nice way to clean it up for the kids at two. You're riding home from school in the back seat of the car.
My younger ones have a half day today, so you never know who's got the Odyssey app on in the house, on the in the car, wherever. So this, why has it been such a stink spiral? Because the team has not chosen a course. There has been no true direction. First, it was reacting to Brady leaving and, we'll be fine. It's the COVID year. We'll grab Cam Newton in June. This will all work out. Nope. Next year, it was Mac Jones. We're not really sure we like the kid. He's kind of a whiny sot. So we'll try to get rid of him the next year. And then Belichick's warring with the front office, and they can't figure out what they're doing and why they have who they have on the roster. And then last year with the Gerard Mayo, oh, my God, what a mess that was. Now, finally, maybe, just maybe, ownership will back up, keep their hands off of as much as they can. We'll see about that. And let Mike Vrabel build a new tone and culture. And I think this goes part and parcel with everything we've seen, from certain veterans walking out the door to the way Vrabel has been front and center of this entire offseason.
So I compare it to this, because I think there is one base reason, not base person, but base reason why it's been disastrous for 5 years. And there are a few things in parenting that hold true from preschool through high school. But one thing you can always stick with, because I remember every preschool teacher saying this to little kids, make good decisions. Did we make good decisions today? Make good decisions. And that holds true to a teenager.
Is that a red choice or a green choice?
Absolutely. And that holds true for teenagers when you hand them car keys and they're like, I'm going going out with the boys tonight. How about we make good decisions, just like in preschool, right? The Patriots made some of the worst decisions consistently you could ever make. And they were made by lots of smart, capable, successful people. There is no one person necessarily that made every decision that led us through this, what was it, spiral of stink?
Over stink the last spiral.
Five? Stink spiral. Stink bug spiral, because it's almost stink bug season here in the Northeast, which I love. Love having those weird little bugs in my house, and I squish them, and then they smell funny. It's a stink spiral for the Patriots that was rooted in bad decisions. And Belichick made them. Kraft made them.
Mm-hmm.
Mayo made them. Wolf made them.
Everybody's made them.
Jonathan made them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Everybody's involved. I would even throw in, Matt Patricia made them, and
you could say Bill O'Brien made him by deciding to come back.
Sure. It was 5 years.
Ended up someplace great, and he's where he belongs. He's like the only one who came out of this actually without any of the stink spiral stank.
A.K.A. Fitzy remembered, hey, Billy O could be listening. He's right down the street. I'm going to spin that positive for Billy O, our listener on RP1.
You
down
suss that out like a true detective.
So I don't often go to the poll in the first segment here. I try to save the poll for later, but I'm bringing out the poll in the first segment because it's relevant. So I said this. Since Brady left, the team has struggled to find any real direction or success. That would be the stink spiral you're talking about. Who is most to blame for the half decade of struggles? And there's two options. You may be able to guess them. One is Bill Belichick. One is Robert Kraft. And I did allow for other, with the old reply with a name kind of option, if you think somebody else is involved, because every once in a while somebody will throw a curveball option other than Belichick and
Kraft. Hey, did we get any votes? Because people continue to tell us that
the media.
The media. Yeah, you fan media people. You drove Belichick out of here.
I didn't drive anything. And if I did, he's weaker than I thought he was. If I was capable of driving him out of town.
Single thing you wrote or video I made.
Thank
you. Get out of here.
Thank you very much. But would you like to predict? I know you love to predict the results of the poll. And this has gotten a crap ton, a very official measuring on Twitter polls of
response. Do you
know,
actually, Andy, side note, I was today years old when I learned that buttload is actually B-U-T-T-L-O-A-D, a term of measurement.
Is it something to do with a gun? The
butt
of a gun?
It is actually 122 gallons.
What the hell does that mean? That's a big butt.
That's
a big old butt.
And I cannot lie.
Either 122 or 126 gallons.
Oh,
anyway, so if you ever want to say, like, I'm gonna go home and drink a buttload of beer, you better be ready
I'll
to
die.
Drink.
Now, how does that equate to a crap ton?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Dan Ball, producer extraordinaire. We'll have to... We'll see if we can endeavor that by 6 p.m.
So gotcha. I did not drink a buttload of green beer last night. I just had a couple, and they made their way through the system because it's no longer St. Patrick's Day. So, Fitzy.
I got a guess. Ready?
Yeah.
Kraft, 61. Belichick, 39.
Okay, so you're a little bit more balanced than the actual voting itself. 65% of the vote, over 800-plus votes are in already, say that Robert Kraft is to blame for the half-decade of struggles, and 34% say Bill Belichick is to blame.
That's a two-thirds, one-third. That's pretty significant. And I feel like, Andy, a lot of the reaction or reactionary moves that were made this offseason, not even waiting until the locker room had been fumigated after the final game, the game that they never should have won in the first place, to get rid of Mayo, I think it's because they realize that's how the fans feel, that they had gone from trying to position history so that Belichick took a lot of blame to, oh, wait a second, now we've become the bad guy. You know, hey, Elliot, go butcher that Dark Knight reference on the podium because it's not working out for us.
Did you know I'm being attacked by PETA on the text line? Andy, how hard is it to just throw the stink bug outside? Jesus, have a heart, you bleeping donkey. Because I killed a stink bug? That's heartless? It is probably kind of heartless, but I don't know.
I mean, I got kids, and they, you know, one of them actually wants to grow up and work for the Audubon Society, so I can't kill bugs.
I just assume if I let the stink bug live, he's going to have other little stink bugs, and they'll be back in the house. They know the neighborhood. They know how to get in, and then they'll be overrun with stink bugs.
Yeah, no, I can't. That's the thing. So I have to, like, capture all of them in, like, little mason jars and bring them outside. There you go, kids. There he is. And then
this is a swimming stink bug. We're going to put him in the toilet and flush him to freedom. Flush. See you, stink bug.
Stink bugs are no bueno.
So I have always believed. So if we believe that Brady's departure was the start of the five-year spiral.
It most definitely. Well, you could say it really began when Edelman dropped that pass with 4.5 minutes left against the Titans.
Well, you could say it really began when Bill forgot how to draft, but that's a little more vague.
Do we want to blame it on Dominic Easley? Do we want to blame it on
Bill picked them all. Not their fault. All they did was like Matt Patricia. They said yes.
What about Antonio Garcia? How's he doing these days?
No, it's all Bill Belichick. So you could probably track it back to Bill Belichick's struggles in drafting, but the day people will remember is the day that he forced / allowed Tom Brady to leave. But I still to this day say, by Robert Kraft allowing Bill Belichick to make that decision, he made a decision, right? So that's on ownership. It always goes back to ownership when you're talking about these big decisions, and therefore I think I would vote with the listeners. I think I would vote Robert Kraft because I would also include Gerard Mayo. Whatever you thought was happening there, there was a horrific decision that set this team back a couple years. And then you include the spending, which, I'm sorry, when it's multiple coaches and multiple GMs and multiple years and the spending stays the same, don't you assume it's ownership that's controlling the spending?
Mm-hmm.
I've been hesitant to this. I always thought Bill was as big a part of the limitation on spending as Robert was because I thought he was the Wesleyan economics major who believed everybody, you know, keeping salaries down, strong middle class, all these things. Now, I don't know. Bill's been gone for a while and the spending is still suspect. So I feel like you have to go one more higher on the organizational depth chart. But 617-779-7937. 5 years ago this week, Tom Brady left. And since then, well, the Patriots have not been all that fun. They've not been all that successful. Losing seasons, losing the division, high draft picks, multiple coaches, multiple quarterbacks. Who do you blame for that? Is it Robert Kraft? Is it Bill Belichick? Could you blame Tom Brady himself? If he had stayed, Fitzy, would it have worked out differently? Would there have been more success? Or would it have just been a slower death for the dynasty, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Robert Kraft, and that triumphant triumvirate. There's plenty of questions to ask, plenty of answers to be had. 617-779-7937. Join us and let us know what you think. We will also talk a little bit about Mock Draft Monday, but on a Tuesday, stealing the idea from Jones and Keefe. Lots of new mock drafts out there, lots of interesting options for your Patriots, but we're taking your calls next. The dynasty died 5 years ago this week. Why is it still dead? Why has nothing grown in its place? Why do they continue to seek success and yet not find it? 617-779-7937. But first, we got to get to Dan Ball.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With what's trending. NBC Sports Boston's Tommy Curran on Jones and Keefe earlier today, pinpointing the one decision that really changed it all for the Patriots when it went south post Tom Brady. And in his mind, that was not having a plan to replace or properly replacing Josh McDaniels after he led Mac Jones to a good rookie year. And he might be right, but I still believe there's lots of decisions along the way that contributed to the downfall of Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, the Patriots, the last 5 years. So we're talking stinky Patriots and to some degree stink bugs, Fitzy, because I don't know if you noticed the text line lit up with information on stink bugs. You're not supposed to squish them because it releases a pheromone that actually attracts more stink bugs. So you're supposed to flush them, according to the text line. So I will be flushing my stink bugs from now on, sending them to the septic tank from hell, but getting them out of my house. But we're also talking about the New England Patriots and what happened post-Brady. So we're going to go to the phone calls because the guys are lining up to talk about it. And the first subject line is an enticing one if your name is Andy, because it involves Fitzy. Let's go to Jake in Boston, who has something to say to Fitzy. What's up, Jake?
Happy anniversary, boys. Fitzy, I just sent our call.
Jake, are you currently out? Are you out someplace right now celebrating Big Poppy's engagement?
I am not. I just sent our Instagram call from March 18th, 2020 to your DMs. Take a listen and see how right I am and have been. Well, you are more DeLulu than Baghdad Bob. There should also be a third option on this poll, which is the stupid fans and media who are too dumb to realize that once Tom walked out the door, this was all inevitable, except for yours truly, who's been right since the beginning. To refresh your memory, Fitzy, I started off by telling you that this wasn't going to be like replacing your dog. You just can't get another one. And Belichick thought it was going to be. Two, you kind of admitted it. You were on the wrong side of history. All Robert had to do was give Thomas $25 million, and instead he let Bill give the money to the McCourty twins and their best friend, Patrick Chung. Robert not only called First Take after it happened, trying to deflect, But in what was the most famous part of our argument, he went out and got his D-rated planes, who you guys had been really excited about until about 3 weeks ago, sent him to China for some COVID masks as a PR opportunity to make people forget that he actually had a major involvement in Tom Brady leaving. Number four, Tom Brady did, as I said at the time, help people recover from the pandemic. The city of Tampa won a Super Bowl in front of hometown fans. Fans, mind you, because if he were still here, the Commonwealth got COVID so wrong we wouldn't have been able to see it. Five, all Robert had to do was give Bill points on the franchise to play nice with Tom and keep his mouth shut. And he chose not to do that and to keep Jonathan as heir to the future of the throne and not give Bill a single cent of the franchise's worth to play nice. The only
All right, thanks for the call, Jake. I'm sorry, but
good points in there to last me at least a couple of breaks as well.
Holy Moses, Jake. That was the victory lap of all time. That was a victory marathon. He went 26.2 miles of victory, and I guess he was right. I mean, he claims that famously there was a part of your argument, like, I don't know how famous it was. No disrespect to you guys. I'm not sure I've heard many people talk about the famous Jake and Fitzy fight or debate.
I got to be honest. I don't remember it worth a lick or a toot, but I'm sure it was something that will live in the annals of Patriots history.
It's fabulous. Did he say you guys had an Instagram call?
I don't remember it. You can call people on Instagram. You can video chat. You can call people. You can do whatever you want on the gram.
Anybody? Like if you're a follower or something, or
yeah.
So I'm intrigued now.
I've video chatted with people on IG. I've done video chatting on Facebook. You can do it on a million. You don't just have to have like Skype or FaceTime. You can do
so it. Is there potentially a recording of this phone call that we could have some fun with on an afternoon show?
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Apparently, it's in your DMs, Fitzy. If you want to check that, that's how he led the call.
He slid into your DMs for another return chat with you. Yeah, you just took a very Senate hearing approach. I do not recall said conversation, supposedly, Senator.
It all just depends on what your definition of DMs is.
Wow. There was a lot in that phone call, but apparently he was right all along. He should have been running the Patriots, and Robert should have given Bill points on the franchise and run Jonathan out of town. How is that going to work? He's the son. That's how, like, inheritances work generally. They go from the father to the son, and Jonathan's put in a lot of years working for this franchise. You don't have to like him. You don't have to like Jonathan's decision-making, but he is his son. He's his blood, and you think he's going to give the franchise to Bill Belichick? That's a ridiculous idea. Can we call out a ridiculous idea for a ridiculous idea? I usually let Jake spew, but that was stupid. Yes, Dan Ball.
You're not answering my Instagram call right now, and I don't know why that's the case.
Oh, I'm getting a... Oh, hey, Dan, we're talking on the radio and Instagram. I guess I'm old, whatever. I had no idea that you could call people on it. So if I follow them, can I call them, or does it have to be they follow me as well? Do both people have to follow each other?
I have not gone that far into it. As far as I'm aware, you followed me back when I got hired, so all I know is if you follow each other, you can call.
Okay, so I can't, like, call Instagram models or anything like that. Not that I would.
Only one way to find out.
Just asking. I would never do that. I have no interest in those types of things. I'm just saying.
I'm looking to see right now where this quote-unquote infamous exchange...
We are playing this. If there's audio of you and Jake arguing about Brady and
here it is. Okay, no, he didn't call me on Instagram. He actually saved it. I was on with Brian Barrett. It was a 1 to 4 o'clock show. He's actually in my chat. He's actually in my DMs now. I'm talking to you about Jake, and he just texted. I misspoke. I had the call recorded, so it wasn't. He texted to me on Instagram. This is fascinating. Wow,
Jake is quite a self promoter. That is impressive. Now, if we
look
get
at
that
all
audio,
of this, he never said, Jake, come on, be nice to me, Jake. I'll follow you back if you stop being such a dick. All right, I'm going to listen to this call.
Just hold it over his head.
You know, here we go. I'm going to copy it, Dan. I'm going to DM it. I'm going to go from one DM slide to another.
Okay.
And I'm going to send it to Dan Ball. Dan is going to screen it. And if it's worth it, we can play it when we come back in moments.
I look forward to this. The original victory lap from Jake. We just got the post-victory lap, the original. 617.
By the way.
Yes.
I will say this. I have admitted many times. I'm glad Jake owned up to it. I have fessed. I have apologized. I have done everything I can save for take a naked walk through town square while people throw vegetables at me and ring the shame bell for my stance and my immediate reaction and response to Brady leaving town. I sided with the team. I love the team. I'll always be a fan of the team. And yes, I work for the team. But there's no reason why I should have even in the slightest done anything resembling doubt Tom Brady. I should have been behind him. You know, mom and dad can get divorced and you can love the two of them and try to treat them both the same way, depending on who's living at a cool little two-bedroom apartment downtown and who still has the house, Andy.
781 says Selma Hayek is not answering my call on Instagram. Same. Alexis Wren, I tried to call her. She didn't answer me back. This is a flawed
Keep trying.
System.
They'll answer. Keep trying.
617-779-7937. Back to the phone calls here. So we had Jake in Boston. Up next, we have Danny in the car who wants to talk about this 5 years of dismal Patriots history that we're reliving here on the anniversary of Tom Brady's departure. What's up, Danny?
Hey, gents. So I think Tom Brady Sr. or Brady Sr. Said it best. I'm not sure which year that Brady Sr. says it's not going to end well.
Mm-hmm.
Brady asked.
It was 2017, Danny. 50.
Boom. So we're talking $50 million, 25 a mil a year for the Drew Brees contract. Are you kidding me? So the ultimate question is who made the decision? Was it Belichick or was it the Kraft family that made the decision not to give him $25 million a year when we, as New England fans, enjoyed multiple Super Bowls, multiple seasons over 20 years? We enjoyed it. And God bless Tom Brady. But Belichick, on the other end, sorry, I'm going to rant here. Give me 50 seconds today.
Give you 30.
Without the defense, they don't win them all. So, yeah, there's definitely the combo. I want to go 60-40, 60 Brady, 40 him. But who makes the freaking decision not to pay the guy $25 million a year and let him walk out the door? Is it Bill or is it the family?
Thanks for the call, Danny. It's the family. That's where I start with. Any decision that's made with the Patriots falls under the Kraft family umbrella, falls under Robert Kraft's umbrella. Could he have paid Tom Brady? Could he have undercut Bill Belichick? And might there have been ramifications? Sure. I have no idea. If Robert forced Bill to keep Tom Brady and give him that contract, maybe there's a chance that Bill walks out. Okay. So Bill walks out and you got Brady and we have a different timeline thread in history here. But he absolutely could have done that. He allowed Bill to make a decision, and by doing that, he made a decision in his own right, Fitzy.
Yes, yes, he did. And you know the sad part is, you know, you talked about how a long time ago on Six Rings, you made a point saying, you know, the Patriots are in danger of becoming one of those sad franchises where they live thoroughly in the past and all they have to look forward to are those pinnacles, those bastions, the stars of the past. Like, for the longest time, it was basically Shula and Marino for the Dolphins. Or when you go to a Bears game, all they really still have to pin their hopes to are Walter Payton jerseys and people dressing up like Mike Ditka at the tailgates and in the stands, which is an iconic look, and I understand. And we had looked into the future, like, what if 5-10 years from now, Tom Brady jerseys are still the most popular jersey, and that's all people are wearing. And people are wearing hooded sweatshirts with the sleeves cut off,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only identity the team still has. They're in danger of that gravely bad decision haunting them for not just years, but decades to come, unless Mike Vrabel is who we thought he could be or who they think he should be and turns things around and helps forge a new identity for this team.
Or unless Drake May is who we want him to be and some like Dan Orlovsky believe he is to be, because one of the other responses we did get to the poll on Twitter, Fitzy, was it's pretty simple. You didn't have a quarterback. You had Tom Brady, he left, and you didn't replace him with a franchise quarterback. You had Mac Jones for a year playing, I guess, at a franchise quarterback level, Pro Bowl level, whatever you want to call that. But the real reason is you never replaced the quarterback position. You became one of those teams, the Dolphins post-Marino is one of the more famous examples, and that's why you stink. And now you have Drake May, and if Drake May is him, if Drake May is who he's supposed to be, maybe that is turning things around for the New England Patriots, and then you marry that up with Vrabel, and maybe you have a rebuild that's begun this offseason. 617-779-7937. Talking about the Patriots offseason, which is an important one because it's been 5 years of misery for you people, Fitzy. People like you, 5 years of misery, thinking every move, every next change is the change that gets the ship in Foxborough going in the right direction. Maybe we're finally there. Speaking of going in the right direction, well, not last night anyway. The Boston Bruins lost in overtime, but there is some hope that the team could be going in the right direction after the trade deadline. We'll look at last night's loss, but also the future for the remainder of the season. Will we see some of the young stars playing for the Boston Bruins? Would that even be a good thing? Little Bruins talk up next here on WEEI Afternoons. WEEI Afternoons, that was the final call of the Bruins' loss to a bad hockey team last night in overtime. They almost made it. 10 seconds left in overtime, and then they lost to the Sabres, who have made an art of losing in recent years. Fitzy, I tell you, sometimes Dan Ball puts some teases in the rundown for me in case, I need something, a little boost or whatever. The tease for this segment was something you're familiar with, although I'm going to put a different spin on it. He wrote, Bruins tank is on. And you know what I like to say. We're not tanking. We just stink. The Bruins, I don't think, are trying to lose hockey games. I just don't think they're a very good hockey team right now, despite that little post-trade deadline bump. And it is what it is, but I wanted to take it in a different direction. So we talked yesterday about Fraser Minton having the natural hat trick for Providence on Sunday, and this idea that late in the year you might see some young players brought up, young players that might contribute, put some ice time on tape for next year. Well, Fluto Shinzawa over at The Athletic basically said, not so fast, my friend. Pulled a Lee Corso. And I'll read you, this is a little bass ackwards, but, I'll read you his last line of his column first.
All right.
But for now, as much as the Bruins need assistance, help is not coming. This is the price you have to pay. He does not believe you're going to get any young call-ups. He doesn't think Minton and others should be playing. He actually, at some point in there, basically said, you don't want them taking their lumps, losing their confidence, playing bad hockey for a bad hockey team down the stretch here. You want them building confidence in Providence so that maybe they are options for next year. So the Joe Judge theory, no one else is coming, this is who we've got, is apparently what the Bruins are going to put on the ice down the stretch here. And don't now there's guys, Hustadinov, I didn't even check my pronunciation, so if that's right, I'm learning Bruins hockey names from
Nailed it.
New players. Hustadinov, say it again just for the ones in the back. He's been making some plays for them, but not a whole lot to look forward to here for the Bruins, unless you are looking forward to a top 10 pick, and as Dan Ball says, the tank is on for the Bruins, Fitzy.
Yeah, I mean, this is ownership's way of saying We're out on the season. There's not much else to give. There's not much else that we're really into. So if you guys want to make the playoffs, awesome. But otherwise, we don't really care, which is kind of a bummer because they continue to flirt with the idea of nipping at the heels of the final wild card spot. And last I checked, even if you're not that good, you might be able to get, I don't know, a couple games at home. And isn't playoff home revenue gate like the sweet spot? Isn't that what you want the most? Like, you want to get 2, 4, 8, 10 games if you can at home. Sell extra popcorn, sell extra beer, sell extra seats, sell extra merchandise. So I would think the Bruins, save for mortgaging the farm, the other direction, they actually is exactly what they did by getting rid of so many starters and so many quality players on the team. Shouldn't they try to, like, give the kids a little effort? Here's some real-world experience, Providence Bruins. Come on up. Help us make the playoffs. Get some. Get your sticks wet. Come on, let's get up here. Let's do this thing. And instead, it's just, nah, we're just going to just roll with the guys we got. Like, this feels half measure to me. Like, make a decision which way you want to go with this. I guess you could say they have.
Oh, yeah.
I, for one, don't find it interesting because it's nothing but ever since that little two-game surge, I think I heard Jones and Keefe describing it as like a little push from the trade. Like, they got buoyed momentarily. And then after that surge finished, they just went back to who they are, which is actually a less good team than they were before the Marchand and the Carlo and everyone's trades.
So you asked the question. Fluto answered. He says there are three priorities for this lost season that's playing itself out for the Boston Bruins. Bullet point one,
land a high first round 2025 pick, albeit organically and not tanking on purpose. So therefore, Fitzy, as I like to tell you, we're not tanking, we just suck, and we want to pick in the top 10 picks in the NHL draft this year. Priority All right. one. Priority two, shelter what few prospects they have from the head bashing that remains.
What do you mean? What is shelter? What are they? Do they think these prospects are going to, is this like a don't get DK Metcalf or George Pickens or someone who's going to have a bad attitude? So, yeah, we can't, we have to shelter these kids from what is the losing culture in the locker room, the anger of Pasta, the interim coach that they may or may not have any interest in retaining? Like, I don't get that attitude.
Yeah, I mean, we can debate that attitude, certainly, but I think they're talking not necessarily about culture, just on the ice, getting your ass whooped because you're not a very good hockey team, you know, giving up four goals in the first period and looking up at the scoreboard and sludging around the ice. I think they're looking at something like that. Yes, Dan Ball?
Big improvement in the second period yesterday, by the way. They went from zero shots on goal to four shots on goal in the second period.
Yeah, they were still outshot significantly for the game.
They continue
to be outshot. And I've
noticed, they stink, remember?
When did Nesson start really noting that the time in zone for the other team? Like, they've been using that clock a lot, I've noticed lately, to let you know that the puck has been in front of Swayman or whoever's in net for a significant period of time. Maybe answering for people like me. Maybe they're making excuses for their goaltender why he stinks because the puck is always in his end. I don't know. But they seem to be promoting what is going on and taking note that the puck never leaves the defensive end for the Bruins.
I think it's been on for a couple of years, but I could be wrong.
It's just more notable now.
Maybe it seems a bit more exacerbated now that it's always in the Bruins zone.
Yes, yeah. It seems necessary. And then the third bullet point from Fluto is identify who among the current bunch can be part of future iterations and who can hit the door. That was a lot of tone in those three bullet points. Did you notice that? Head bashing, hit the door, tanking organically. Fluto said, I'm not sure he really needed the whole column. I think he could have probably just sent a tweet with those three bullet points and we would have gotten the same... Same
this
feeling.
This is the hockey article equivalent of, you know, this could have been an email, Fluto.
Yeah, he nailed the hell out of the bullet points. But so that's what you should expect from the Boston Bruins down the stretch. Don't expect any prospects coming up to make life more exciting, more fun, because they don't want their heads bashed in. Don't expect the team to try to win because they're not trying to win. They're not tanking, but they're not necessarily trying to win because they want a top 10 pick in the draft. Don't expect all these faces that you're seeing on the ice now to be faces for the future, because they're kind of proving their mettle and some of them will be kicked through the door after this season. So keep watching the Bruins. Keep watching them lose, I guess. Are we now officially rooting for them to lose, Fitzy, to get a top 10 pick?
Remember, we were told, and I feel this, that you can't root for the outright loss. You can hope for it, but you never root for the outright loss unless, of course, it's going to cost the Patriots the number one draft pick, in which case you do everything you can under the sun to root for the team to lose. I got to say, any Bruins fan that is engaging in social media, having watch parties with their friends, going out to public spaces to watch this little, you know, death march of the Bruins in this unfortunately sad iteration and lost season, God bless you. You want to talk about the definition of being a true fan of Boston sports or just hockey in general? It's following this team to their bitter frozen finish.
On the way here in hour number two, WEEI Afternoons, it's 3 o'clock. That means two things. Ted Johnson is here, the three-point stance, and we'll also get into the fact that, I don't know if you noticed, but a half world away, Major League Baseball is underway. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.